Let's stand briefly this evening. We'll read a few verses and then we'll let you be seated. Job chapter number one. Job chapter number one. We just finished our series in the book of Daniel. We were actually in that since last October. I enjoyed it. I don't know if you did, but I had a good time. So thanks for coming. And if you weren't having a good time, I was really enjoying that. We're going to start next week. We're going to start a series in the book of Philippians next week. Philippians has a lot to talk about joy, and we just talked about the flip side of that in Daniel, living right when everything around us is wrong. And so we're going to look at the book of Philippians for a few weeks and talk about joy. But in the interim tonight, I wanted us to look at Job, and I wanted to encourage us tonight. I don't think I'll be long. And who said that? Oh, that wasn't a staff member. You're fired, Brother Paul. Thanks. Okay, actually, you just added 10 minutes. I won't be long like Paul. As I was reading the book of Philippians, I've been getting ready. Halfway through the book, he says, "Finally, my brethren." That was the halfway point. So when you hear me say, let me say this, I'll be done. Look at the clock. I'm halfway there, okay? Just kidding. You wish. Okay. Job chapter 1. We'll read the first 12 verses. Very familiar story, but I think it can encourage us tonight. And when we read, we'll pray and then leave your Bible open. We're going to look at several verses tonight in the book of Job. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil," means hated evil. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, and upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." And let's pray. We'll stop there. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. Thank you for tonight. I pray you would bless our few minutes together. I pray you'd encourage us tonight, Lord, as we look at this man Job and all that he went through, Lord. And I pray that it would help us to prepare for those times when we will go through unpleasant circumstances, or Lord, maybe we're going through something right now. And I just pray that you would comfort our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Of course, we understand the story of Job is known very, very, very well. By the way, this book is the oldest book in the Bible in terms of when it was written. We will look at all that Job went through tonight. By the way, the New Testament lifts Job up as an example that we ought to follow and learn from. James chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Of course, Job is a man who endured much. He went through a lot of problems. Job was very, very patient as he went through these problems. And because of that, Job was blessed. He's a good example for us to follow tonight. Let us hope, and I hope that none of us, none of you will ever have to go through anything even remotely close to that which Job had to go through. But it's nice to see that there's a story here in the Bible that of a man and what he went through, and God can teach us how we can go through the issues of life ourselves. So we see in the story, we see the kind of man that Job was. He was a godly man. He lived right. He treated others right. Because of that, and because of God's choosing, he was a very blessed man. He had a huge family, which, by the way, is a blessing. I didn't hear much on that one. That's okay. But huge families are a blessing. Children are a blessing. Okay? And he had great physical blessing. God took care of him, gave him much. We saw in the verses we read, there was a conversation between God and Satan. And God says, hey, by the way, have you checked out my servant Job? Have you considered him? And then Satan makes an accusation. He says, listen, that Job isn't serving you for no reason at all. He only is serving you for what he gets. And if you took away that which he had, he would curse you to his face, to your face. That's what Satan thinks. Satan probably can't comprehend that we serve the Lord just because we love him and because of who he is. And I hope we don't just serve the Lord because of what he is doing in our lives. If we only serve God because things are happening that are well, what are we going to do when things aren't going so well? We ought to love him for who he is and what he has done, whether he does anything else for us ever again. And so God allows Satan, go ahead, take everything he has, just don't touch him personally. We're going to see all that in a minute. But as we look at our life, there will be times in our life, or maybe for some of you, there are times in your life now that maybe you're going through some difficulties. Maybe there are some situations of life that aren't pleasant. Maybe there are some trials in your life. Maybe there is something that has happened, or somebody has let you down, and there's disappointments. You know, the Bible helps us to get through all of that. See, we never have to go through things alone. And Job was a picture of a man. If he can go through what he went through, we can learn how we can get through what we go through. Worse yet, in some of those periods of life, it seems that the only thing that follows is just more bad. You ever notice that? It's almost like this comes our way, and it's like, all right, this is a struggle, and it's unpleasant. And then there's something else. And then there's something else. They just kind of come in succession, right? It's like, man, I'm trying to do the right thing. It just seems, it's like one thing after another. Maybe we have this thought in our mind, when will it ever stop? When's the drama going to go away? When are the problems going to end? When is it going to come to a screeching halt? Job had that kind of look, had a situation. As we look at his story tonight, I want to encourage us. You're going through some of these times presently. Maybe you've just come through some times like that in your life. Or maybe this is for future reference, that something's going to come and you're going to go through it and you're going to need it tonight. But I want you to notice as we look at the whole saga of Job here, I want you to notice there's three stages I want us to look at. First of all, I want us to notice Job's calamity, all the things that happened. I want us to see these things that took place in his life. Now, I want to notice these calamities from two different angles. First of all, I want us to notice the outward things that happened to him, the outward trial. Look at in Job chapter 1 again. Look at down at verse 14. God tells Satan, go ahead. You can do it. You can touch everything he has. Don't mess with him, though. Verse 14. So Satan goes down and starts causing havoc. Verse 14, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding behind them. And the Sabians fell upon them. Here comes this enemy, the Sabians. And they took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. He says, listen, the Sabians came and they killed them all. And they took these beasts of burden and they killed all your servants. He goes, I'm the only one that got away. And then the next phrase you're going to read three straight verses in a row. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another. You see the picture? Here's one person delivering some bad news to Job. And as he's finishing up his last sentence, here comes another guy. And he runs up. And while he was speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. and I only am escaped to tell thee. Now he loses his sheep. He loses his herds. One guy gets out. And why this guy, here's this guy. The first guy came and said, man, the Sabians came and all this is bad. And why he's talking, here comes another. This guy stands here. Here comes this guy. He says, the fire of God fell. Why this guy's here, he's going to take a step. Here comes the next one. Verse 17. While he was speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands. Not the kind of bands you've been listening to, okay? These were groups. And fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. Number three's there, and he's given his bad news. And as he's done, here's these two. Here's this guy. Here comes another. This guy goes with the three. The last one shows up. And by the way, the last one is the worst. All that other stuff, except for the servants, could be replaced. But this one's the worst. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, verse 18, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Wow, now he loses all of his children. Can you imagine? He doesn't even, here's the one guy comes, and as he's trying to process the first thing that happens, here comes somebody else, and before he can even process that, he's done, and this guy comes, and now this guy's telling him, he's like, man, what is going on? And then this guy's there, and finally his children. Could you imagine what he was thinking? Could you imagine all that he was going through? Now, we're never going to lose everything that Job lost. But we may go through some things. We may start getting the feeling, man, when's it going to come to an end? It's always coming at me. All these outward problems that Job had. Amazing. He lost after loss his servants, his animals, his cattle, his children. And by the way, from different sources, some of these from enemies and some of these from natural disaster, although it wasn't natural disaster, it was satanic attack. He lost all that he possessed. But then it gets worse. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him, destroy him without cause. It's almost like he said, take that. See, you did all that stuff to me, and he doesn't serve me just because of what he had. But Satan, of course, is Satan. Verse 4, he answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And put forth now thine hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to his face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. You know what he said? He said, yeah, he's got the emotional turmoil now. He's lost everything he had, and he didn't curse your face, but that's because you didn't touch him personally. Do something personally to him, and he'll curse you to his face. The Lord says, go ahead, but don't kill him. And so he touches Job, and now all the emotional drama, all of the loss, and now physically, he's going through something. He loses his health. It's going downhill fast. By the way, let me say this. We can't control life. Can't. Now, there are some things in life that we can control. There are some situations and issues of life that can come our way, whether emotionally, whether with the stuff we have, whether physically, because of the way we live that brings that upon us. But there's a lot of things that are just out of our hands. See, though, as I mention often, the Lord, after we're saved, promises abundant life. But abundant life doesn't mean that we don't go through the trials of this life. And that's what Job is going through. We live in a sin-cursed world. And that's just how it goes sometimes. But I want you to notice, after all of these outward things, I want you to notice there's an inward trial too. This one comes from unexpected sources. This came from a source from which Job would have thought that he could have got some encouragement. He would have thought he could have got some help. But instead, they just add to his grief. Instead, they just add to what he is going through. It comes from those who are closest to him. It's one thing to have all the drama of the circumstances and the issues of life, but to have those that ought to be an encouragement, to have those that ought to care about you, to have those who ought to love you to make your situation worse is even worse. Who am I talking about? Well, look at it here. Look at his wife, verse 8 of Job 2. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Here he is and with boils in his skin, and he's scraping it off. He's in pain. And still, never, just don't think about the physical. He's got the emotional on top of that. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Talk about encouragement. Now, I will say this. Job's wife gets slammed, and we're not lifting her up for wife of the year. But she said this because of the misery he was going through. She said this out of the pain that she was feeling, okay? But still, it wasn't very encouraging. I don't think that she was a bad lady. She still had to have 10 more kids, though, okay? So God kind of, you know, we get those back. But I don't think she's a bad lady. But she went through all the loss that Job went through, and now she's watching her husband suffer, and maybe she just couldn't take it like Job did, but then she kind of attacked him. Why are you holding on to your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? I'll say this, a husband can take a lot if his wife's on his side. But if his wife's not on his side, you can't take a whole lot. By the way, be very careful about this, couples. If you're going through a difficult situation, you're married, don't let the situation cause conflict between you and your spouse. Again, I'm not getting on her too heavily. Get me wrong. She's going through a lot, and that's why she kind of got on her. But it's because of what she was going through. But I see that happen. There's a situation in family, and instead of the husband and the wife drawing together with the Lord's help to get through it, they kind of start attacking each other. That's never a good thing. Don't allow the outward problems of your life to get you to attack the wrong person. Get together with the Lord and make it through. But that must have been very hurtful for him. I had some friends from when I was a new Christian at the church I used to go to, Gethsemane, and there was a lady there. We came back from Bible college, someone we knew well, and she was married. And this was the early days of AIDS. It really wasn't very well understood. And her husband had this physical issue, and he had to get transfusions. And they really weren't really understood a lot about it. And he got a blood transfusion, and he got AIDS from it. Not HIV, it turned into AIDS. The wife's response was she ditched him, left him to die alone. There's something mighty wrong with that. Don't let problems or disappointments drive you away from each other. Let them draw you closer to one another. There's a strength that's needed in a family when you're going through tough times. But we see that his wife was part of the issue now. Also, I want you to notice his friends. Look at verse 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one of him from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bilhad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamanite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him, and to comfort him. Now, that sounds good. That's a good thing. And it worked out swimmingly for 7 days. And then these guys open their mouth. And they start getting on him. They start accusing him. And that's what the whole book of Job is. They start telling him it's because there's sin in your life. They start telling him, if you weren't righteous, God wouldn't be doing this to you. Can I just tell you something? That is not very helpful. Sometimes people we think would be the biggest comfort to us sometimes can let us down. The most. By the way, what did Job think about them? Turn over to Job chapter 16. I want us to see Job's commentary on these guys. Job chapter 16, Verse 2. He said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters, all you all. He says, fellas, I don't know why you came. I'm hearing everything you're saying, and it's not helping. Whatever that job description is, you're not fulfilling it. They didn't do their job. So here's Job, and his wife is, he's hearing it from his wife, he's hearing it from his friends, and then he's hearing it from his flesh. His flesh. Look at Job chapter 3. I need to hasten here. Job chapter 3. Job finally speaks to his friend. Now I want you to understand, Job's a good man. He handles it right. Everything's good, but he's still a guy. He's still flesh. And his flesh is rearing up and getting him to think some things. Now, he gets through it. But here's what he says. Job chapter 3, verse 1, it says, after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. Not the way you cursed, okay? Not like that. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. He goes, you know what? I wish I'd never been born. That day that they came, and if you read through it, he mentions it many other times, and they came and said, there's a man-child be born. Let that day be cursed. You know what that is? That's grief. That's the flesh rearing its head and just standing up. And so we get all these outside sources, but also that's our own flesh that accuses us. So let's recap. Job lost everything, his possessions. Have you lost something in your life? Economic downturn, maybe your job, maybe some financial hardship. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you have some illness and pains and some things you're fighting through. Maybe there's some problems in the people in your life, whether it be marriage, whether it be family, some people, some emotional struggles. I want you to notice, though, secondly, I want you to see Job's character. Job's character. God knew what was going to happen to him. God knew what kind of man he was. We see Job's character in really three different areas. We see the way he's assessed. God assesses him on very high terms. Satan accuses him on those terms. You see, Job was a man of high character. The things that are said about him are said of someone who's a man of very high character. That's probably why Job could get through this thing that he went through. The point I want to make there with the assessment that God gives is this. You don't necessarily go through things because you're doing something wrong in your life. Sometimes you just go through things because it just happens. Job's friends were saying, you know why, Job? You're sinning. But you know what? The reason Job went through that is because he was a good guy. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes things just happen. Now, I think we ought to always assess what's going on. We ought to always look and say, you know, is there something I've done to cause this? But I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes things come and we've not done anything to cause it. It's life. Don't let Satan get you down by saying, see, you're a bad person. That's why it's going on. No, it's just how life is sometimes. We get down on ourselves. Think of the disciples as they're on that ship and they're in a storm. Why were they on the ship? Jesus told them, get on the ship and go to the other side. They were right smack doing exactly what God told them to do, and yet this thing happened. You know, the story of the foundation, and Jesus said, I'll liken, you know, whether or not someone's in my word to this, and he gives a picture. Two people built a house. One built a house on a solid rock foundation. The other built his house on sand. And when the storm came, the one that was built on the rock stood. The one that was built on the rock, on the sand, fell. But he said, storms are coming, though. They just come. It's a part of life. Don't get down when things happen. We also see Job's character and his actions. Go back to Job chapter 1. How did he handle these things? Give me a couple more minutes with this, and I'll give you a few points that'll help us to get through all this. His actions, Job chapter 1, verse 20. After all those things happened to him and he loses everything, what does he say? Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head. That's a good thing, by the way, all right? But he said, oh, people are bald. They're not bald. We're shaven. That's what we're at. We wanted to be like Job. And fell down upon the ground in worship. And listen, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Wow. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Not that I haven't been honest, but, you know, my wife's starting to use that phrase against me. I don't know if I could have done that. I would hope that I had the kind of Christianity that I could say that. But Job did. Wow. He said, you know what? And by the way, he wasn't saying he liked it, but he was just saying, Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I was born with nothing, I'll leave with nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't judge God by what was going on in his life. Neither should we. See, we have too many fair-weather Christians. As long as everything's going well, God's good, brother. What about when things aren't going well? Did God fall off his throne? God's no longer good? Come on now. We live in this sinful world, and I'm just going to tell you something. This world is sinful not because of God, because of man. We can overcome that, but it is what it is. Let's not accuse God based on what's going on in our life. God is always good. And then I want you to see how he accounted it. Look at Job chapter 2 and verse 10. He encourages his wife here. She says, why don't you curse God and die? Job very lovingly said this in verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. He's saying, sister, I could get this from an unsaved person. Now, I think he's trying to encourage her here a little bit. It's like, listen, you're going through it right here. Let's not snap back to what an unsaved person would do. And then he says, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of the God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. This guy is spot on. This guy knows God. By the way, you got to know God to get through that kind of stuff, right? But he said, listen, he goes, so it's okay for us to get good stuff from God, but it's not okay if bad things come our way? Now, I understand the phrase, you know, men's prayer every Saturday morning. We'll sing a song, and it's like, all right, God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. Someone will give a blessing. You know, God was good to me this week. I got a raise. By the way, I'm glad when you get a raise. Amen? We'll be looking for you in the offering plate. You know, God's been good. What about when you get fired? I mentioned many times, I won't tell a story, but man, we were living on fumes when we were in Florida, and I got this job, and I was stripping the floor, and I listened to what my supervisor said, although I knew he was wrong. I said, we can't do it this way. It's going to ruin the floor. I've been doing this for a while. He goes, no, just do it this way. Trust me, I'm the supervisor. I'm like, all right, I did it his way. It turned out exactly the way I told him. He went back and told his boss it was my fault. I got fired. Just like Brother Ross is tomorrow. Can I just tell you something? God was good when he gave me that job, Brother Ross, and God was good when he takes your job away tomorrow. Come on. Let's quit putting God on trial. If Job can believe that through what he went through, can't we believe that through the small things that we go through? Now, let me just give you this. Number three, I want you to see Job's comfort. What are some of the things that could help him to get through this? There's six. I will name them quickly. We'll be done. First of all, the Word. The Word. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. You can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it for sake of time. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Esteem means to hide, like a treasure, to hoard. He's saying, man, his words are important to me. It's like a treasure that you would find and you would keep for yourself and you would hang on to it tightly. He said, his word is more important to me than the food I need to survive. Why? Because when you come to times like this, you find out what's really important. All that stuff he had, you know what that was? It was just stuff. But when stuff started happening in his life, he says, I need God and I need him through his word. God's word. Is God's word important to us? Problems have a tendency to drive us to the Bible if we'll let it. you have to have the right relationship with the Word of God. And the key is we need to do it ahead of time. I like Psalm chapter 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. The word offend, it means like to trip, to stumble, to cause to get off the path. You know what he says? If we love God's word, there's nothing that'll come our way that'll drive us off of the path of serving God and doing what we're supposed to do. Job didn't love God's word before, after the problem. Job loved God's word before the problem. And when he got in the problem, he really realized how much he needed it. This is preemptive. You know, if you take vitamins, we take vitamins. Our family is always kind of taking vitamins. Why? Vitamins aren't for, you know, when your leg falls off or whatever happens. They're preemptive. Okay? It's maintenance. It's like, listen, this is preventative. Most not could help if you're not feeling well. I get that. But it's really preventative. Let's get into God's word now, and we'll have the strength to. The reason that things happened to Job is because of his character, the kind of guy he was. God knew that that would stump Satan. Wonder how Satan felt after, like, man, I've tried everything. And this guy just will not curse God. He doesn't think that people serve God for the right reasons. I hope that we're proving him wrong. I want you to see the result. Job took comfort in the results that would happen. Job chapter 23 and verse 10, a few verses before what we just read. He said, but he knoweth the Lord the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I know that this is going to make me a better person. Wow. I probably would have a hard time thinking that. But he said, God's putting me through the fire right now. And you know, when something is precious, like gold, silver, that type of thing, when it's put through the fire, you know what the fire does? It melts it and it gets rid of all the impurities and it's purer than it was before. Job said, God's doing something in my life. Now, he may not have liked the way it was being done, but he said, when he tries me and I come forth, I'm going to be better off. You know what happens? So many people go through situations and trials. Trials that James tells us would make us a better Christian, that would teach us patience, make us mature, and we don't react to them correctly. And we don't get out of it what God wanted us to get. It's almost like if you're a Christian and God's working your life, I wonder if sometimes God gives us a trial, we totally blow it, and God says, we got to do it all over again. I'd rather get it the first time, right? I don't want to, look, when I was in college, I dropped out of high school. I never took English. I barely speak English now. And I had to take non-credit English college course because I was so bad, no credits. You had to take this class for free just so you were good enough to get into the regular English. It took me 3 times to get through that class. 3 times. I didn't like taking class. First of all, take a class for no credits is a pretty bad thing, but then to take it 3 times, I took every teacher they had. Okay? It was a waste. I wish I would have just got it the first time. Maybe when I was in high school, that would have helped. But is that happening to you? Situations God's bringing into your life and you're not catching what he's got for you and you just got to keep going on and doing the same thing over and over? Job said, I get it. And then he also saw his other hope was the future. Chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He believed in the afterlife. He believed in heaven. He believed in the resurrection. He believed that there was a better day coming, and maybe this body was going to struggle. But one day I will have a body that will never struggle. His comfort was in the afterlife. Hey, let's not get so caught up in what's going on here. You think about it. You all have retirement, you know. This is my retirement plan, and I'm going to, you know, when I turn 65, I'm going to retire. So by the way, the average person lives to about 75, let's say. You retire at about 65, so you work your whole life for those 10 years. By the way, the 10 years when your health isn't the best, okay, and you can't enjoy them. You know, you're not going to be out there jet skiing unless you're Chuck Castle, okay, and all that kind of stuff, you know. Can I just tell you something? We live 70, 75 years, and eternity is a lot longer than that. Why don't we look towards eternity? Why don't we see that in the grand scheme of things? Heaven's a good place. You know, the worst case scenario death is in reality the best case scenario. Now, we don't want to take the path to get there, right? But when we die, you know what would be best? In your sleep. Okay, that'd be great. Better yet, the rapture. Better yet, you know, let's just get to heaven. But it's a good place. He saw the future. He said, listen, this world is not all there is. If we're so wrapped up what's in this world, well, of course, if we lose stuff, we're going to lose it. Because everything we have is attached to what's down here. I also want you to see Job's commitment. Job chapter 13 and verse 10. Now listen to this. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Look, if some guy was chasing me with a knife, when we were teenagers, I told you, we were a buddy of mine, and my buddy, there was somebody having a party down the street, and they said something to us when we walked by, and we ignored them. When we got a block away, my buddy got all tough. There's just two of them, and he was cussing at them. I'm like, I can't believe what you're saying. And they're just like so far away, like, what's this guy doing? So we went to our house, and we came out, and we turned a corner. There was a guy with a machete, and he chased us. Can I just tell you something? I did not trust him. He said, listen, even if God's going to kill me, I'm going to trust him. What kind of commitment is that? He trusted that God knew what was best, even if he died. We've been throwing little things out, but I'll throw one more. So that means we're committed, but yet we won't be here next week because of the Super Bowl. Say, how come you keep saying that? Because the Rams aren't in. Okay, my faith's not being tested. Tim, Bronco fan, right? See you next Sunday, front and center. Come on. Where's our commitment level? By the way, I joke about that, but I know. And all kinds of churches, we're having a Super Bowl party next week. Listen, I'm all for the Super Bowl. Tape that thing. I remember when the Rams were in it, I taped it. Went home. It was like 2000. That was barely when they had tapes. Shows you how bad the Rams are. Man, all the kids went to bed. I didn't know what the score was. I knew what the score was at halftime. Everybody was tired. I had little kids. They all went to bed. I watched that thing. I'm like, they're finally going to win. And then that Titans caught up. And I'm like, same old Rams. Every time they blow it. They won. I lost a few more hairs that night, but they won. Saying, my team's playing on Sunday. Record it. Come on. Well, why can't we just take one Sunday night off and, you know, let's do this? I'll tell you why we can. Because I don't want to send a message that there's one thing in this world that's more important than church, because there's nothing more important than church. Give me a break. It's just a football game. Come on. All right, back to lost my friends there. Commitment. Let's be committed to the Lord. By the way, would you have that kind of commitment? I don't know if I would. I pray that I would. To say, you know what, God, whatever you do, even if you're going to kill me right now, I trust you. That's faith. And he had it. Maybe that's how he could get through it. By the way, maybe that's why he was such a blessed man in the first place. Also, here's a tough one. Forgiveness. Job 42:10. Now, a lot of these things I hope I would do. This one, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't, okay? Job 42:10. It says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, I'll tell you what, I would have prayed for my friends, but it wouldn't have been the prayer Job prayed. I would have said, Lord, you know, on the way home, you know that, do you have any of that fire left over from when you took my crops? I'm just saying, Lord, it's up to you. But it wouldn't bother me at all. No. But listen, he prayed for his friends. He could literally forgive his friends. He could. So often some of the problems we have in our life are with individuals. And if we don't handle them correctly and we're not forgiving, bitterness comes to us. I always say it, and it's true. If for no other reason we should forgive the other person for our sake. We're the ones that pay for it. But you know what? We ought to care about them enough to forgive them for their sake too. Forgiveness. When did God change Job's situation completely? It says here, when he prayed for his friends. That was God's key to say, we're done with this chapter of Job's life. Let's get him back to where he was at and let's move on. And then I want you to see the last thing, the blessing. Blessing. we see here, and we're not going to go through it, God gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, it doesn't always mean that God gives us twice as much as we had before if things happen. But it just means God's still in the blessing business. Let's stay blessable, though. Maybe the reason we're not being blessed is because we're not in a situation where God can bless us. You know, years ago, I pray for my country just about every day. The Bible tells us to. Pray that we have peace and so forth. Pray for our leaders. That's a tough one. That's very tough. In fact, that one really hurts. But, you know, years and years and years ago, I quit praying, God bless America, because he can't. With all the nonsense we're allowing, God can't bless America. You know, I pray that America would get back to the place where God could bless us. But we've need to make some changes. But, you know, God still blesses his children in spite of the things that come our way. But we got to get through it. Job's a great example for us. None of us will ever go through what Job went through. But I will say this, that doesn't mean that the things we do go through are not necessarily unpleasant. But let's be like Job and let's keep our priorities straight. Let's keep what's going on in our life right. And let's do the things we're supposed to do so we can get through it. Let's all stand together.